Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. That's the shortest text I've had up there in a long time. Man. Brother Dan cracking up back there at me now. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. That's so short, I'm going to read that this morning. I'm going to do something different this morning. Hey, man, lights. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 reads, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. Our text this morning, sermon text, title-wise, is the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. Couple of points. Number one, the appeal to those who are in Christ. Paul makes this appeal to those who are in Christ. Number two, Paul admonishes believers what to do and what not to do. Paul makes his appeal based on the mercies of God. The same mercies that he had received. In the first 11 chapters, everything that was needed for salvation, obedience, was already given. Listen, you all. Paul took 11 chapters to set down what we need to live by. 11 chapters. And then, listen. Out of those 11 chapters, I'm going back to him bad. He takes two verses to summarize 11 chapters. Listen, you all. 11 chapters condensed down to two verses. He tells us everything that we need to do in the first 11 verses, and then he starts out with application starting at chapter 12. Now, everything he says that we can do has already been provided in the first 11 chapters. What are some of those things? Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. Have somebody to read that for me. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. Sister Elise, you're already there. Come on up here and read. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. Right here, sister. I'm sorry. Right here.
God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners,
Christ. Wait, hold on. Listen, in this previous chapter, chapter 5, God demonstrates how much he loves us and the depth of his love she's going to show us. Go ahead, sister.
In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Wait a minute. This is a deep love. Now, while you were yet useless to God, he died for you. So, number one, listen. Is that all? Did I? You get everything? Romans 5:8. Thank you so much. I didn't want to hold you up there. You may be shy. Listen, the love of God is so deep and it's already been administered to your life, you need to show somebody else that same love. Listen, God's love was demonstrated in that while you were yet useless to him, Pastor, he still died for you. Now, we need to turn around and love somebody else like that. Now, I'll love you if you're good enough for me to love you. If you can return something to me, I'll love you. But God doesn't love that way. He loves not looking for return because you can't return the love of God. Y'all with me, right? Let's go to Romans 4, 22 to 25. This is another mercy that he has provided. Romans 4, 22 to 25. Although you're not as dramatic as your mother there, you'll do.
That's reserved for her.
Romans chapter 4, verse 22 to 25.
Verse 22, that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord.
Hold on. The context is that this is talking about Abraham. And he believed God. Whatever God said, he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Righteousness has already been provided for you in the previous 11 chapters. So whatever you need to do to apply that, it's already there. Go ahead, bro.
Who was delivered up from our trespasses and raised for our justification.
Amen.
Amen.
Number two, Paul also tells them to present their bodies a living sacrifice, which refers to the Old Testament system of sacrifice, where animals were killed by the priest to cover sins temporarily. Can I just show you something real quick? Well, illustrate something to you. Now, if you sinned, you took your offering to the priest. The priest took your offering. He took your offering into the temple. He killed it. And he put some blood on the horns of the altar, sprinkled it in front of the veil, poured the rest of it at the trough at the altar. Listen, this was a bloody sight. But it was intended to be bloody, to show you the cost of sin. Sin has caused an innocent animal to be killed for your offense temporarily. This was a bloody situation. Listen, it was temporarily because they had to come over and over and over and over. What was this implying? This was implying that, well, it was really showing that God was saying that this was just something that was pointing to something else, really. And really, what was happening while you were giving it to the priest, which what was really supposed to be happening is that you give it to the priest, that was an outward sign of what was going on the inside of you. You gave your offering to the priest, but what on the inside, what you were really doing, you were giving yourself to God. You were obeying God is what you were doing. Y'all get that. Amen. Paul now tells the Romans to stop letting the old system of sin shape you into its image. You can do that because what it has been provided already in the first 11 chapters. He's already given you the power to say no to sin. As an example, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. Sister Taylor, can you read that for me?
Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 9.
Uh-huh.
And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience.
Wait. Thanks. Before you met Christ, you had no ability to stop sinning. The issue was that you were dead in trespasses and sin. What dead means is that dead means what? Dead. You were dead. You were not able to respond to Christ at all. What you were able to respond to was the wrong way. You can make a choice, but your choice would be wrong because what? You're dead in trespasses and sin. That's why the old life should not have any more power over you because you were once dead. Go ahead, sister. I don't want to mess it up there.
The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, being of great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
Listen. My old life does not have claim on me today. The reason it does not have claim on me today, because God in his infinite mercy and his great love, he has reached into my dead state and he has saved me. Once he has saved me, sin does not have that power no more. I did an illustration in one sermon where my old stuff would call me and say, Billy, you remember when, brother? Answer this phone. You know you want to do it. But because of what God has done for me already, I don't have to answer it no more. Mm-hmm. You can call, but what is that thing, Ray, when you call and stuff, you don't want to talk to nobody, just hit that swipe over there, and it goes straight to your voicemail. Leave me a message, because I'm not answering the phone no more. Because God has done something already, and he set me free. The Bible says he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Go ahead, sister. Got you up here.
By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Amen. Go ahead, sister. Go ahead. Go. You finished. You good. You did good. She did good. Listen, you all, God took a raggedy, broke up person who was dead in sin, reached in by the Spirit of God, changed his heart, and then he broke the power of sin in his life. And then what he's going to do, he's going to take that messed up vessel and he's going to put it on display. And he done made good works already for that broke up vessel to do. When the world makes that call to Billy, Billy's not answering no more because God done saved me and he done set me on another path. I must have got excited and pushed the button, brother, there. Since you were saved by the death of Christ and indwelled by the Holy Spirit, we are to be transformed. How is this to happen? By the Spirit of God using the Bible to get what's on the inside to show on the outside. Listen to me. Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with his disciples. The Bible says while he was there, he was transfigured. His clothes became white. What was happening was that what was on the inside, Pastor, was showing on the outside. Listen to me. The Spirit of God gets on the inside of you and makes the image of Christ come out in you. So what's on the inside begins to radiate on the outside. Ooh. Yeah. Psalms 119:11. Christians, what's on the inside should be radiating on the outside. We don't have an excuse no more. If God had done a half job of saving us and keeping us, we can make some excuses then. You need to add some more to the pot. Psalm 119:11. Come on, Sister Anne. Yeah. 119:11. Come on. Hey, Tina. I got a book.
Psalms 119:11. Your word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, you all. This book is indispensable to the life of the believer, poured in by the Spirit of God. Indispensable. So when you get Jesus thwarted Satan when he was in the wilderness by the Bible, period. We have to have the Bible on the inside so we can thwart those temptations by the Word of God. Amen. Not by my logical process. I don't need that. I need the Word of God. Something's got power. So when I'm tempted to adultery, I got the Word of God. With every temptation, there's a way of escape made. Half the time, we don't want to escape because we still kind of love our darkness, Pastor. You don't have to do it no more. I'm telling you. That's why I'm here today to tell you, you don't have to do it no more. If this lives in on the inside of you by the Spirit of God, helping you to walk the life of Jesus Christ, you don't have to do it no more. Yeah, Pastor, they're going to call me a Bible thumper here in a minute. Before we get there, one more illustration. It's actually found in Genesis 22, verse 1 to verse 13. But you got up so you didn't have to read, right? I know you did that. No, go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 through verse 13. You know I'm going to call you. Listen. This will, you need my glass?
Yeah.
Hey, whoa. I see the light.
Yeah.
I see the light. Now, before it reads, listen. This is an illustration of what God does on the inside. He does so perfectly well on the inside until what the vessel does on the outside is astronomical. It will make you say, what? Are you crazy? Do you get it? He does on the inside. He turns the natural order of things upside down to where when he make a request. Go ahead, I ain't gonna give it away.
22:1. Genesis 22:1. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah.
Context. God had promised. He had promised this guy a son for a long period of time. Boom, boom. I'm going to give you a son. Now he finally get this boy that God has promised him. And there are promises connected with this boy. There are promises connected with this boy that God made to Abraham about the son. Go ahead, brother.
He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering.
Ho. Wait a minute. Isn't that kind of like human sacrifice? Yes, it is. Now, why would God tell him to go take his son that he promised him and attach promises to that boy to Mount in that area to have him sacrifice? That don't make sense, brother. That don't make sense. Go ahead, brother.
And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you.
Hold on, Alan.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Did he say worship? Mm-hmm. He was going to sacrifice his only son. And he telling his young man, prophesying to his young man, we going over here to sacrifice. Not only are we going to sacrifice, but you going to see us again. Shoot, bro. Go ahead.
Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. Mm-hmm. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Mm. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood.
Wait a minute, brother. Abraham was going to kill his son. He had the fire. He had the wood. There was no doubt Isaac was going to lose his life that day. He took God so seriously, and God had worked on the inside of him so dramatically until when God say jump, he say how high. Mm-hmm. Even if it don't make no sense to me, when God say go, I'm going. Because he's got a plan. Mm. And you'll see it as he wrap it up. Go ahead, brother.
Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord came to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son.
Listen. Amen. Listen. Can I ask you a question? If God was to ask you to do... Thanks, Brother Allen. Thank you. I might need them. If God asked you to do something to that similitude, would you be ready? Would you be ready? I'm going to say to you today that he's already at work in you already. And whatever he asks you to do, you're going to do it. I don't care what it looks like. From a worldly viewpoint, I would have said, are you crazy? I've been waiting for this boy all this time. Now I got him, and you want me to kill him, offer him to you? But, listen, well, let me do this before we get to a conclusion. What Abraham got to see was something a little deeper than killing his son. He got to see that the father will have to kill his only son to save some people. That's what he got to see. He got to see the gospel right in front of him because he obeyed God. God showed him the gospel. Because he was what? Obedient. Okay, now, bam. Sister Marilyn, don't laugh at me this week. It says, we are no longer slaves to our old life to obey its demands. We already discussed that. Because we were dead in trespasses and sin, God has stepped in, gave us quick life. He has broke the power of sin in our life. So when it makes those calls, we could actually swipe. You better talk to somebody else. It says, by the sacrifice of this final lamb. Wait a minute. Listen. Abraham got to see the gospel. But God the Father gave his son, Jesus Christ. He gave the very best he had for people, according to Romans chapter 5, were worthless. He gave the very best he had for us. That's why I call it the ultimate sacrifice. Because all we're doing is mimicking what God was going to do on a grander scale. He offered his son so that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. No matter what it cost him, he saved you. Can we turn around and do that to somebody else now? The Bible says we ought to be imitators of God. Whew, I'm through. As the final lamb, I am able to present my body a living sacrifice to be used by God for whatever purpose he has for me. Period. Period. God is not asking for no more dead sacrifices. He's asking for your body in his service with no conditions. And your old life is not attached to that. He's asking for a living sacrifice because you're able to deliver now. They say, Abraham, how can you do that to your son? And I say, Sister V, how can you be a living sacrifice? Now, that's crazy. You can do it because God has already provided power. You got resurrection power in you. Okay. The ultimate sacrifice, Brother Phil. I'm through. You've been warned today.